I can only imagine that probably for all of you this morning, it's impossible somewhat to imagine what it would be like when we'll be able to stand before the Father and worship Him in His Spirit and in truth. That sends chills up and down my spine when I think about it. I think a day is coming when we will be able to fully enter into that holy of holies, that place where God meets with us personally, each one of us, and today is just a part of the preparation for that. You know, we think about looking forward to heaven and looking forward to being the bride of Christ, but that's already happening. We are already redeemed people. We are already part of the family of God, and what we can experience here in a fulfilled life on earth is wonderful, if we will enter into it. The question that was asked last Sunday is, who are you and what are you here for? Who are you and what are you here for? And out of that, this morning, I felt like God was leading me to share this message this morning. Who are you? When I was about 16, 17 years old, I traded my snowmobile for a horse. Nice buckskin horse, a dark tail and dark mane, and just a good-looking horse. And this horse was what I thought very submissive. I could untie the horse and I could walk, and the horse would walk right alongside of me, just keeping his nose. His name was Joe, by the way. And Joe would walk alongside of me with his nose right beside my elbow, and he would stop when I would stop. He would walk when I would walk. Just a very good horse until I got on his back. He was a hypocrite. He only looked good. He would take any opportunity. He was very undependable. He would just at any moment, for any reason, decide to try and pitch you off. And I wonder this morning, are some of us a little bit like Joe? We're fine, we're good. But when we get under our load, we throw a fit. You see what I'm saying? Walked into a barn one day, and there was a dog there wagging his tail, and I think I told you this story before, but for the sake of the illustration, dog was there wagging his tail, and I bent down to pet the dog. You know, nice dog. Bent down to pet the dog as I'm coming down. My hand is open like this just to pet his head, and he bit me right there, right in the soft part of my hand. He was a hypocrite. Don't wag your tail. When somebody comes to pet you, you bite them. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and we'll just spend a little bit of time there. And one of the things this morning, again, just to remind us what preaching is about, is to, as Paul told Timothy, to stir up, to remind. And all of us, I believe here this morning, for the most part, having an experience with Jesus Christ, and so I'm speaking to born-again people and who are people who are looking to continue the walk of life as God has called out and has written. We say many times, I just wish that God would speak to me. Well, God has spoken to us. He's even written it down for us in this book. So we are a blessed people. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 7 says this, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another," almost sounds like some kind of concert or something, "he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is what? Hypocrisy. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do to you. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. Who are you this morning? Who are you? One of the things that when we're born, we don't have the option of choosing what color our hair is. We don't have the option of choosing what color our eyes are. We don't have the option of choosing how much hair we have. You see, Karen is saying it's easier to spot me now from the back of the congregation. So that's what's going on. That's what happens. We don't have a choice. We are by the genes that are developed in us. We are a lot of what our parents are. You've heard the saying, well, he has his father's eyes, or he has his mother's smile, or she has her mother's smile. You see, there's so much of us that speaks about who we are in the physical sense. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be too concerned about that, but we should really be concerned about the fact that we should be displaying who our Heavenly Father is. People should be able to see. People should be able to see without a shadow of a doubt that you're one of God's children. They can see it in your eyes. They can see it in your walk. They can hear it in your talk, that you are one of God's children. And I believe this morning one of the biggest things that hinders the image of God from coming through to the people around us is hypocrisy. We say one thing and we do another thing. The question was asked last Sunday, who are you and what are you here for? And probably all of us, I'm guessing, have wrestled with that question this week. Who am I and what am I here for? Who am I and what am I here for? Unfortunately, what many people are asking today is this question: who do you want me to be? Seriously. Too many people are not asking the question, who am I, but are asking the question, who do you want me to be? As your pastor, who do you want me to be? And that is the position of a hypocrite. It is not based on the foundation and the facts that I am a born-again child of God and I am going to get my cues from the Word of God. I am going to get my life direction from the Word of God and not from what you say or what someone else says. Who am I and what am I here for? Are you living? I'm going to ask a few questions. Are you living a life of integrity? Are you who you are telling the world you are? Are you who you're telling the world that you are? Is that the person that you are? Are you concerned more about what God thinks of you than man? Wrestle with that question this morning. Am I more concerned about what God thinks of me or what's really important? What's really important to me? I asked Luke this morning, what's really important? Is it that this message that I share is what God wants me to share, or is it important that people think it was good or it was okay or it was that I somehow met a need here? You see, we're faced with it on a daily basis. In so many things that we do, we are faced with that question. Am I doing it because of you? Am I doing it because my children, what they might think of me? Is your life a reflection of the Holy Spirit in you? Or is it how you say you're living? Is your life a reflection of the Holy Spirit in you? Or is it just how you say you're living? Because I guarantee you, the people that are watching who are not born again, your children, I'm not saying children not born again, but people who are watching you, who see you, who work with you, they're able to tell. They're able to tell if it's more than what you're saying. They're able to tell if it goes deeper than what comes out of your mouth. Are you living a life committed to Jesus Christ, or are you committed to people? Who are you, and what are you here for? What is hypocrisy? And we'll get into this a little bit further as we go along here, but what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy, interpreted simply as this: it's a stage act. It's a stage act. We often think of hypocrisy as something that doesn't line up with each other. Yes, that's part of it, but it goes deeper than that. Hypocrisy is an intentional act. It is putting on something. It is putting on, and when they first, the actors would first put on masks when they were acting on stage. They put a mask on so that people didn't see their real face, but they had this face that they wanted to portray. It was a stage act. And the goal and the purpose of the actor was that they would get the applause of people, that they would get the affirmation of people, because the show was about pleasing the people. And so hypocrisy, in its simplest form, is a stage act. Parents, you know, there's so many areas of life that I believe that we can find ourselves being inconsistent in. And I think one of the things is for parents is to be consistent in discipline and how we discipline our children. And may I say to you parents here this morning, do not discipline your child if you are not able to discipline yourself. Let me repeat that. Do not discipline your child if you are not able to discipline yourself. It generates rebellion within a child. It destroys the heart of a child. Because you say so much. You say so much by what you do. So we wind up disciplining them for something that I myself have no discipline over. It sends a bad message. It sends a really bad message. You see, your children in this here act, in this here life that we're living, your children are the audience that are watching you. Mothers, your children are the audience that are watching you in the kitchen. They're the audience that are watching you in the flower bed. They are the audience that are watching you in the grocery store. Are you who you say you are? Are you living who you say you are? Or is it an act being put on that when the guard is down, a couple of things that are pointed out here in the scripture. He says, beware, first of all, of the leaven of the Pharisees and hypocrisy, which is hypocrisy. He says in verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed nor hidden that will not be made known. And I think it's important to us as we understand this scripture, as we understand what Jesus was saying, that we understand that we serve a fearful God or an awesome God, and that we should fear God, and that the things that we say in secret, in private, they're not hidden. You may be fooling the person beside you. You may be fooling the people that you live with. You may be fooling the people that you work with. But you are not fooling God. He knows who you are at the core. So the first thing of dealing with hypocrisy is that we recognize that there is an almighty God who created heaven and earth, who is able to see and hear every word and action that you do. You're not hiding it. You're not hiding it from him. In verse 1, he says, beware, beware, beware. Why? Because it's sneaky. It sneaks up on us. And once it gets into your being, it becomes part of your being. It's hard to get it out of you. Just like leaven in bread. You can't separate the yeast from the bread after it's there. And so he says, beware, because it's what puffs you up. It's what makes you an undesirable person. Leaven and yeast in the bread makes bread desirable. But in this case, it was the undesirable thing that he was pointing out in the Pharisees. And once again, he was not condemning the Pharisees. He was condemning the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he would do the same thing for us today. I believe that. And you can put in there whatever name of whatever group you want to put in there. He was not condemning the group. He was condemning the leaven of the Pharisees, which was hypocrisy. And he condemned the hypocrisy. You know, there are many ways that I think hypocrisy is played out. And I think that, probably all of us at a time or another have, you know, we have put on the good face on Sunday morning and we shake each other's hands and how you doing and fine and everything's good and everything's okay. And when inside we know it's not. Deep down inside we know that there are things that are not right. But we hide it. You know, if we are to be, we are children of God. God has called us, and in our calling, He has put the Holy Spirit within us, and He has said that we will be witnesses. Are we being witnesses? Are we being witnesses for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to go somewhere else to do it, but not willing to open our mouths to our co-workers and our family members? And are we willing to, it can take on a shape of hypocrisy. Am I willing to put on Facebook how much I love my children? Put it on Facebook, show everybody what for good parent I am. But when I'm at home, in the quiet, in the place of my home, they're a pain in the neck. Isn't that a form of hypocrisy? So I'm putting on Facebook what for good parent I am. But at home, they're a pain to me. And you know it. Maybe other people aren't seeing it as much, but you know it. One of the things I think we run into with this whole idea of hypocrisy is that we kind of judge ourselves. And here we see in the scripture that the things that are seen, it says in verse 3, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I think many times this morning we find ourselves evaluating ourselves and say, well, I'm not too bad. I'm not too bad. I'm doing all right. Let me look. Let's look at a scripture, and you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, and let me read this scripture to you. It says this. Paul says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And let me stop there for a moment. We are all, as children of God, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he goes on, he says, moreover, it is required in a steward, in stewards, that one be found faithful. So God is saying, if we are stewards of his mysteries, then we are to be faithful people. We are to be people who we say we are. We are to be people who we live like we are. In verse 3, he says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. And here's one of the things that I think we find ourselves where we fail sometimes and we got caught up in hypocrisy is that we evaluate ourselves according to our understanding. We evaluate ourselves according to what other people think. We evaluate ourselves, whatever it may be, anything other than the fact that we evaluate ourselves by the Word of God. See, it's no comfort to me to know that by my own thinking, by my own mind, by my own understanding, it's no comfort to me to think that I'm okay. Unless I go to the Word of God and I read the Word of God and I saturate my heart with the Word of God, that's what I evaluate myself by, the Word of God, not by what I think, not by what Mark thinks, not by what whoever else it is. It's not that. So Paul says, I'm not moved by how you judge me. I'm not moved by how I judge myself. But that I look into the Word of God, and it is God who judges me. And so I ask you this morning, Are you living your life according to the Word of God, or is it by what other people think? Vernon Beachy mentioned this, and it just stuck with me this week again, that the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, when God called them, and He is calling all of us as His bride to come, and they rejected Him, they put a veil over Him. And the one thing that stood out so clearly to me was the fact that they rejected God, and then they went and built a golden calf. It wasn't the golden calf that condemned them. It was the fact that they rejected God, and they rejected His invitation to come. You see, I believe this morning when we put on the face or the act of a hypocrite, we are rejecting God. And that opens the door for the calf to be built. God has placed His Spirit in you. He has placed His Spirit in me. And it's not hard to look and live like your Father if you will yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Spirit of God, not to what people are saying, not to what people are thinking. In John chapter 3, we have the story of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee. What appears like Nicodemus had some questions, but he was on the right track. So there are many, we are tempted today to kind of put people in categories. You know, I believe that there are born-again people in the Baptists, there are born-again people in Catholics, there are born-again people in Methodists, there are born-again people in Mennonites, and you can go on and on. As there were, I believe, born-again people among the Pharisees. So just again to point out that Jesus was not condemning the Pharisees, it was the hypocrisy, the leaven of the Pharisees. Just like there are hypocrites in all the groups that I mentioned, as there were in that day among the Pharisees. Why the warning? I believe that at the heart of every human being, there lies the temptation. There lies the temptation to be somewhat hypocritical when we present ourselves as one thing to one person, present ourselves to another thing as another person. It lies in the heart of man to do that. John Stott said this about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is hideous. What cancer is to the body, hypocrisy is to the church. It's a killing agent. Unfortunately, hypocrisy is also addictive. And even though Jesus reserved His most severe words of condemnation for the hypocrite, we still seem to prefer that lifestyle to truth and authenticity. That's from John Stout, a quote from John Stout. And it is true this morning that I believe you look through Scripture, the harshest words that Jesus spoke were to the hypocrite. He wants us to get it. He wants us to get it. In the Gospel of Matthew, here are some Scriptures. Matthew 6:2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by who? By men. So they were doing their thing, they were sounding the trumpet, and before they would put their money into the basket, or they would pray, or they would make a big show of fasting, they were sounding the gong. Look what I'm doing. I see that on Facebook. I better let Facebook alone. Okay. There are many other ways. You know, I pick on that one because it's easy to get to. Matthew 6:5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by who? Men. Matthew 6:16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. Men that they are fasting. In Matthew 7:5, you hypocrite, first Take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In Matthew 15, 7 and 8, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In just one speech in Matthew 23, he called them hypocrites 7 times. He called them fools 2 times. He called them blind guides 5 times. And serpents and brood of vipers 1 time. And these were the people who were acting out something that they were not inside. Dateline NBC program did a survey. They took hidden cameras into a used car lot. And again, no offense, please, to those of you that sell used cars here this morning. But they found some discrepancies, which we have heard over time is that the rap that used car salesmen have gotten. And they're not all that way. I assure you, I know some upstanding used car salesmen that are sitting here this morning. And very, very, okay, I'm done. But anyway, they're good people. But they went in there and they found that they did nothing short of lying and covering up problems that they knew that the car had to sell it. Let me ask you this morning if that was you. If that was you that went into that car lot, were assured that this was a good car that had a problem, you bought it. Where are you going to go the next time you go for a car? You're not going to go to that person. You're not going to go to that car lot. Do you follow what I'm saying this morning? If we aren't the people that we say we are, we ruin the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not me. We ruin the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because guess what? No one's going to come back to you. If they realize what you're saying is not what you're doing, they're not going to come to you for advice. They're not going to come to you as a source through which they will be encouraged or anything else. It's so important this morning that we are who we say we are, that we live who we are in Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but wonder what kind of story would NBC be able to share if they put hidden cameras in the church. What would be the headlines in the newspaper? If they put hidden cameras in our cars, in our homes, would they find the same thing that they're finding here on a Sunday morning? Would they? Or would the headline say pretenders in pews? Or you put in there whatever you think. The most frequent word that Jesus used to describe those people that were doing these acting was hypocrite. And hypocrite, our English word hypocrite, comes from the Greek word that was used to identify an actor on stage. An actor on stage. They would wear a mask in order to live up to the role that he or she was assigned. The mask was not who the person really was. But at the end of the show, when the lights went out, the mask was taken off. That's who they were. That's who the real person was. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into the garage makes you a car. And I heard that. I forgot to write down who it was. I read it somewhere in my study this week. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into the garage makes you a car. Saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian any more than saying that you're an angel makes you an angel. Saying you're a Christian. And the most dangerous type of hypocrisy there is the one that says, I am born again, and knows deep down inside that they know deep down inside that they are not. The one who puts on the act of being a Christian and they really are not. That is the worst type of hypocrisy. It is the most dangerous. It is not okay to stay there. It needs to be changed. Jesus said without apology that those who are his own will be known by the new life that shines forth from them. Jesus said without apology, those that are his own will be known by the new life that shines out of them. Who are you this morning? The true follower of Jesus Christ continues doing in the dark what he does in the daytime. The true follower of Jesus Christ continues doing in the dark what he does in the daytime. The hypocrite changes at night or in the dark. The hypocrite only does what they do on the stage so that people can see. And when people are no longer looking, they're a different person. The hypocrite is a different person in the night. The hypocrite is a different person at the beach. The hypocrite is a different person in the motel room. The hypocrite is different when the boys from work go out for supper, the girls' night out. The hypocrite is somebody different. They put on a stage, they put on an act. Why? To fit in, to get the approval of the people around them. Is the biggest danger to the church today. I cannot warn you enough this morning, I beg of you. Hypocrisy is to the church what cancer is to the body. It destroys, it eats away. Jesus said, beware, beware. Jesus in Matthew 6:1, Jesus said to his disciples, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. The Lord goes on to say that they blow a trumpet, they do the giving of alms, and they pray so that people can see, and that we read that their appearance is all about what it looks like. At the heart of hypocrisy, it is all about what it appears like to someone else. And you know this morning, and I know this morning, if that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Many young people are pressured into or have chosen a wrong road because of why? Because of fitting in and taking a step into doing drugs and joining gangs and committing crimes and all kinds of things like that, sex outside of marriage and that kind of thing. Why? To be accepted. But we as adults, we're not a whole lot different. Maybe we don't act out quite the same way. But there's many things that we do just to fit in, just to be who we think people, who do you think I should be? That's what I'll be. Who do you think I should be? When I'm with this group, I'm one person. When I'm with this group, I'm another person. With this group, I'm somebody else. We need to guard our hearts. Jesus warned against hypocrisy. And he goes on in verse 4, and he says, I say to you, my friends, herein lies the key. He gives the answer. How do you deal with hypocrisy? How do I get rid of it? How do I deal with it? I know it's going on in my heart. How do I deal with hypocrisy? How do I root it out? And he goes on in verse 4, and he says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. And yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? You are precious in the eyes of God. You are precious in his sight. He is an awesome God. And your life needs to reflect who he is. Reflect what he is, not what people want you to be, but reflecting who he is. And then he says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. And I believe one of the biggest factors in people falling under the sin of hypocrisy is the fear of man. And he's saying, don't fear what man can do. Fear me. I know you. I have the hairs of your head numbered. I know you. You're precious to me. You're precious to me. So until we get back to aligning ourselves with what God thinks over what man thinks, we have the risk of falling into that category of the hypocrite. In Matthew 6, 4, Jesus says, yes, your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will repay you for giving alms. Your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, he'll repay you for praying. Your heavenly Father, who sees what is hidden, will repay you for your fasting. Paraphrased a bit by Luke. Let me read that again. Your heavenly Father, if you're seeking the approval of men, remember this. Your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will repay you for giving. It doesn't have to be the sounding of the gong or the big show of giving. Remember, God is the one who will reward you. Your heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will repay you for praying. We don't need to bow in the streets and on the street corners to pray. But we have a heavenly Father, and we need to seek his reward, seek his approval. When we fast, not for the sake of others seeing us, but the sake of the reward from our Father, because we're being obedient to him, he will reward you. It is him. I hope this morning that I've challenged you just a little bit in the area of being who God has created you to be. And you can do that. You can do that. It is possible to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that we have opportunity to look in your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that guides and directs and leads our hearts and our thoughts and our minds. Lord, I pray this morning that you would take the word that is shared, the word that was the seed that was sown, and that you would grow it and that it would become all that you want it to be to your honor and glory. God, I pray that you would reveal in us those places where we have yielded to hypocrisy. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to connect with it and deal with it properly, because you have given us your spirit and you have promised that we can, when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we claim that this morning. We believe that. God, I pray for this congregation this morning. Lord, I pray that each one here this morning would experience you in a new, precious way this week. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit, that our ministry, that our reaching out, that our families and our coworkers and all would know that truly we have been with you. Lord, come. Give us a fresh, new vision for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I asked the chorister to come and lead.